Gomer Jobber, Roosevelt Avenue. This is TobielPod.com coming to you from our studios high atop Prospero's Books and Cafe. Today is Thursday, the 15th of March, 2012. On this date in 44 BC, Julius Caesar was killed by a bunch of his buddies, and according to the Shakespeare version of events, as he died, he said the famous line, "And you, Bluto?" In 1493, Christopher Columbus returned to Spain from his visit to the New World. In 1906, Rolls-Royce is incorporated. In 1917, Tsar Nicholas II of Russia abdicates the Russian throne in favor of his brother, the Grand Duke. In 1939, the German army takes Czechoslovakia. In 1943, the German army retake the city of Kharkov. In 1965, President Lyndon B. Johnson, responding to the Selma crisis, tells the U.S. Congress, "We shall overcome," in advocating the Voter Rights Act. In 1985, the first internet domain is registered, symbolics.com. In 1990, Mikhail Gorbachev is elected the first president of the Soviet Union. 1 year ago today, in 2011, the Syrian uprising begins. In 1959, Georgian writer and actor Shalva Dadiani died. And today, most importantly, is the 100th birthday of Lightnin' Hopkins, the famous and excellent Texas blues guitarist. Today it is me, Mark Mullen, and Will Dunbar, who's going to be taking a
sabbatical,
hopefully brief. You know, you never know. Will leads a crazy rock and roll lifestyle here and there, all over the
probably
place.
Probably be back in 3 months.
Chutkunjula, you know, we never know. We'll see what happens. He'll be with us remotely, we hope. Cameron is once again on some sort of mysterious academic detail. So, people are being called in for questioning at local government buildings around Georgia. DF Watch published a letter that was emailed around by Ia Mamladze of Gudia News that was an example of the letter people have been sent calling in for discussions. It gives no reason, is not sealed, no seal or stamp, it doesn't have a date on it. Or any sort of registration number, meaning it didn't look like an official letter, as they say. Guria News reported that a local activist of the Republican Party in Guria had been questioned for several hours in the municipal building. She was repeatedly asked how much she had been paid for distributing the newspapers of Ivanishvili's movement, the Georgian Dream.
And collecting signatures as well to support Ivanishvili, the return of Ivanishvili's citizenship as well. Uh-huh. And she admitted to being paid to for doing that, for collecting the signatures, but said she distributed the newspaper for free. But, I mean, there's two things here. First of all, I noticed that they're revamping the Georgian Postal Service. Is that so they can send these letters, do you think? and second of all, this looks really bad. I mean, this is just, what are they thinking? You know, having these guys, you know, show up at their house, knock on the door saying, you know, we'd come in for questioning. It's just...
Imprudent. Yeah, she said that she had been pressured to say that she received 100 lari for it, but she says she didn't. Liberale reported cases
of course,
pressure.
If she did receive 100 lari, she'd be criminally liable, because receiving gifts or financial, receiving anything in kind or in money from a political party, you are criminally liable for that, as is the person doing the giving, which is one of the most controversial aspects of this new law on party financing. Another incredibly controversial aspect of the new law of party financing, which all of this is about, is that the Chamber of Control, who are the guys doing the questioning in these cases, there's no recourse. So the Chamber of Control, which is the state audit chamber, you can't go to a court to get them to stop doing it or to get them to give the money back that they've confiscated on you. They are completely unaccountable to anyone. They're accountable to Parliament, but we all know what that really means. They're completely unaccountable. So this is like completely Gestapo tactics, it seems to me. I mean, okay, that's a terrible exaggeration, but you know what I mean. It's that's certainly how certain people will feel about it, and it looks really bad.
And it seems to be pretty ubiquitous. You know, so the Caspi region, more reports of it. The Republican Anzor Manzulashvili was questioned by the police after he refused to go to the municipality and answer their questions.
It's countrywide. And it's countrywide because Georgian Dream have set up regional offices in provincial capitals across Georgia, and the Chamber of Control now allege, they came out with a statement today, sort of partly in response to the brouhaha that has been stirred up by these sort of dodgy questioning sessions, saying that the Georgian Dream set up these offices illegally using corporate funding, so using funding from Ivanishvili's businesses, which was funneled into the Georgian Dream to rent these offices and renovate them. And the Chamber of Control claims it has evidence that this is widespread throughout the country. And so they, you know, look, watch this space while they crack down hard on Ivanishvili renting, you know, some house in a village. But, you know, we shall see.
I mean, the thing that's so bad about this is, let's be real, I mean, it's pretty lucrative being, you know, maybe not directly, but certainly indirectly, you know, being involved in the national movement, either formally or informally, as a party member or not as a party member. I mean, you know, that lots of things seem to happen there. For example, as we'll talk about later, the student government at Tbilisi State University, okay, it's highly connected with the party, and that means that, you know, you get to take trips and you have, they control a fair amount of resources and whatever else. And so, you know, who knows how that, I mean, all of that is sort of informal, you know, whereas, you know, it seems like the Chamber of Control, which had sort of formerly been a not so exciting audit entity, is now all of a sudden the pit bull of the ruling party. On the other hand, I mean, I do have some sympathy with concerns that all of a sudden this billionaire is going to be around
and buy
a lot of support, you know. And
absolutely.
So
there's, I mean, they make a very convincing case that you shouldn't be able to have a billionaire come in and buy support. I mean, it's kind of ironic that for the last two electoral cycles, the national movement have attracted enormous amounts in corporate donations, and now they say that that's not good anymore. So it's a little bit of a volte-face there. And I completely agree. It's completely unacceptable to have some guy come in waving his money, waving his wallet around, splashing the cash, and, you know, trying to pocket the electorate. That's completely not fair. However, there needs to be some checks and balances. There needs to be some safeguards. The idea that you're criminally liable for accepting a gift from a political party is absurd. And the idea that this Chamber of Control, accountable to nobody but Parliament, which is a pocket Parliament, is also just incredibly bad. So there's no doubt that there should be some oversight into who spends what in Georgian politics. But this, I mean, it's worse than a sledgehammer cracking a nut. It's actually a method of political control over people's political views and activities, and it's completely unacceptable.
For sure. And, luckily, Gaila and Article 42, two NGOs and some other NGO, the Electoral and Policy Technologies Research Center, haven't heard of them, are going to establish groups of lawyers that are talking about this. But all of this seems to be happening outside of the capital. You know, it'd be kind of nice, for example, for anybody connected with any embassies to, you know, maybe send somebody by to talk to some of these people. I mean, just because, you know, whoever goes out to any of these places like Caspi and whatever else, you know, and it would just, I don't know, it's not such a healthy thing. Tiniko Hidashelli and Zvia Zizikuri they said that they made donations to the Georgian Dream worth 10 and 12,000 lari respectively, and that they're ready to answer questions just as their supporters were. On the one hand, it's good that they were taken into municipal buildings and not, you know, police stations, which would have freaked everybody out. But the guy who said that he didn't, you know, want to go for questioning, since it seemed to be a sort of not particularly official letter, was then questioned by the police as to why he didn't want to go for questioning. So it seems like they're sort of in on the deal. There were some videos that were floating around of how the municipal buildings were just shut down somewhere in Guria that, you know, a member of parliament wasn't even allowed to enter. And there were a lot of people that had just sort of regular business there, you know, and all of a sudden while the questioning was going on, they were completely closed. So, I mean, that's a little strange. I don't know. The state audit agency, again, is in charge of monitoring political finances. The Chamber of Control has fined Kartu Bank, which belongs to Ivanishvili, 800,000 lari for trying to,
which is 10 times the amount which the Kartu Bank allegedly tried to donate to Georgian Dream via two employees.
Right. So Civil.ge reports that last week two employees of Kartu said that they received bonuses of 82,000 lari from their employer with the purpose of donating it to Georgian Dream. Two employees said that they were aware that it would have constituted an attempt to bypass the ban on corporate funding and refused to be a part of the scheme, so no donations were made. Okay, first of all, both guys are connected with the government.
No kidding.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, so they've got, you know, moles in Khartoum. And also, I mean, is it really illegal if they were not forced to make the donations? I mean, unless somebody said you have to make the donations. I mean,
No. It's illegal because they're siphoning money through the bonuses.
Yeah.
And so they've already sort of looked into this.
Couldn't they keep the bonus?
I don't know.
You'll have to ask the Chamber of Control,
I'm afraid.
I don't think I'd like to do that.
Another thing we haven't mentioned here is that with the Chamber of Control taking center stage in the government's war with Ivanishvili, it's also being renamed by constitutional amendment, which no less, to the Supreme Agency for Audit and Transparency or something.
I love that. Transparency getting very popular here. I hope that since they're going to be the supreme entity or whatever for, you know, audit and transparency, that they'll start looking into the amount of offshore companies, you know, here and the, what do they call it in law, the sole beneficiary provision, mm-hmm. you know, that would be a nice thing for them to start looking into. So I'm glad they've got that in their name, and maybe we can start encouraging them to make some policy recommendations in that regard.
But actually, we just should make clear that it's a month-long consultation period on this constitutional amendment. So if any of you guys have a better name, like the Supreme Elite Council of Ultimate Transparency Task Force or something, then submit it to Parliament.
Be sure to write that in. We can get them to discuss it at great length, you know, in the plenary session. So, former mayor of Tbilisi and former head of ISFED, the election observation entity.
And former head of the Central Electoral Commission. I mean, this guy's held quite a few jobs.
Exactly. And then, you know, then exiled to Strasbourg and Geneva. Has now been appointed the Minister of Labor, Health and Social Care. Current Minister Sandro...
Andrea. It's Andrea Urushadze. I saw that was a mistake there.
Andrea Urushadze will be the... Urushadze will be appointed deputy mayor of Tbilisi.
Well, hold on. That was quite interesting. So Interpress News, the, you know, roving, go-getting reporters that they are, asked Andrea Urushadze, the former minister, the day before he was reshuffled out of the cabinet, if he's going to be reshuffled. And he said, oh, well, you know about it more than me. And apparently he's being reshuffled because he's too friendly with the opposition. He's got too many personal contacts. That's what the rumours say.
Interesting. I mean, is that really grounds? Is that what they were told, or is that...
I don't think he's going to take them to court for unfair dismissal. I mean...
That's good. Patriarch Ilya II congratulated Vladimir Putin on his victory. He said that Georgia and Russia have the same faith, and this makes the two nations closer. However, South Ossetia and Abkhazia...
There was quite a major but in, you know, it was definitely, you know, damning with faint praise, as far as the Patriarch goes in terms of damning anybody. It was, yes, you know, congratulations on your victory, it's so, you know, Russian people, da da da. But, you know, it would be frightfully nice if you could help us sort out this Abkhazia thing, because we, the church, will never reconcile ourselves. That was a bit of an anti-Russian message there, nice. As well.
So the government was evidently somewhat annoyed by the Patriarch's actions, but did not comment, according to Alyesia Vartanyan of Echo Kavkazia, the show becoming quite popular these days, Russian language show done by Radio Liberty. Georgia's breakaway region serves as a transit corridor for drug shipments from Asia to Europe, according to a U.S. Department of State.
No. It said that they could potentially. It didn't say that they did. It said that.
Are you sure? Did you read that thing?
No. Okay. It said that they might. That they don't really know because there's no. You know,
one cannot exclude, as they say. Uh huh. Okay. Well, that's good clarification there. So they said it is, you know, theoretically possible. It's theoretically possible that I'm a hamster, too, but, you know, then again, I'm not. So, elections were held in the Abkhaz parliament. 13 out of 35 MPs were elected. For the rest, a second round will be held on the 24th of March.
What's the threshold in that second round, Mark?
Oh, that would be a 50% threshold, as opposed to the 30% threshold, which, yeah, in case you haven't ever heard us go over this issue, the reason that there are going to be runoffs in the Abkhaz parliament is because that they must get 50% of the vote there, which seems very reasonable. That's the way the French presidential
system works. That's half, right? That's half the vote.
That would be half the vote,
So to win, you need a majority of the votes.
You have to get half.
You have to get half plus one vote. That's a majority. majority, right?
Exactly. It's a majority, which is quite different from, for example, the situation in Georgia, where in order to be the mayor, the elected mayor of Tbilisi, the only mayor that is elected, actually, in Georgia, or a member of parliament, you only have to get 30%.
But Georgia's a democracy. That can't be right.
Yeah, no, it really is true.
It's not a misprint?
30%, not a misprint. It's 30%, which means here's what's going to happen in the parliamentary elections that will take place in this fall. A whole bunch of... who knows how many, but, you know, I would guess with the 70-odd members of parliament that that'll be elected as majoritarians, you know, that somewhere between 10 and 30 of them will get, you know, 31% of the vote. There'll be very few of them that will receive 28 or 29%, but there'll be plenty that will get 31, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6%. And will win with the rest of the votes split among other candidates. And there will be, therefore, no runoff, which is just terrible, which means there will probably end up being very few opposition MPs, as is the case now.
So just to clarify, you're not possibly suggesting that the separatist Abkhazian electoral system, albeit unfair because of the ethnic cleansing which continues to
exist...
You mean
the de facto Abkhazian parliament, de facto...
Yeah, the de facto, but the electoral system for the de facto... You're not suggesting that could perhaps be better than the system that obtains in the rest of Georgia?
Well, yes. actually, I am saying that it is more de facto democracy in de facto Abkhazia in their de facto election law that they have a 50% threshold than Georgia, and that somebody should call Paliko and Akko and Dato and tell them that we really should have a 50% threshold here, because what's going to happen is all of the majoritarians are going to get taken in the election. Who knows what happens with the rest of them? And that's going to ensure a constitutional majority, even if the ruling party doesn't get it in terms of the popular vote. Now, maybe they will get an absolute majority is a constitutional majority in the popular vote, and more power to them if they do. But if they don't, it would be bad that they get that many seats through this goofy 30% threshold. Lovely talking to you. anyway, from Rustavi Ori, always happy to quote Rustavi Ori, the government stooge station. Last week, Georgia signed an agreement with NATO on joint response to new dangers relating to cyber defense and security. Good if we get that ironed out and don't have a bunch of websites shut down as they were in 2008. Georgian soldiers and U.S. Marines started a two-week-long joint military exercise in the Vaziani military base outside of Tbilisi on Saturday. Agile Spirit 2012 is the
is that
second...
a fragrance?
I don't know, man. Where do the Americans come up with these goofy names? Agile Spirit 2012. Just, I don't know. I mean, it's like,
Well, you're not the only one. Also, Sergei Lavrov had some unpleasant things
to
say.
Well, exactly, yeah. I mean, so they... then Sergei Lavrov said the ongoing joint U.S.-Georgian military exercises, and I quote, seems somewhat provocative in that he had raised this serious issue when he met with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton this week in New York. I love that. Like, seems somewhat provocative. Well, how about invading a country?
Yeah.
How about
having massive, massive military maneuvers on that country's border, involving the troops stationed within that country's borders in the occupied territories?
Right. And how about setting up an Ossetian, battalion in your own army on Georgian territory,
according to law? That seems somewhat provocative
to me. I don't know. Call me crazy. But, Sergei, pipe down a little bit, please. Thank you. Wounded U.S. Marine was awarded with the General Kvinitadze Medal, which is given to foreign service members who significantly contribute to the development of Georgian foreign military relations. And the Georgian-American Love Fest continued as Defense Secretary Leon Panetta visited Georgian troops serving in Afghanistan while he was on the trip to try and get us out of there quick, considering everything that's going on there. Civil.ge and DF Watch report that on the 12th of March, Misha met with U.S. Assistant Secretary for Defense for Nuclear, Chemical, and Biological Defense Programs, Andrew Weber. They talked about the biological research facility, which opened near Tbilisi a year ago. With him was Gary Hart, who is in town, because I saw Gary Hart, famous American politician who ran for president a while back. I saw them in Prosperos. So he's working with this new bio lab, this, mm-hmm. This
big, by the airport.
Yeah, that's been sort of, going on forever. Had lots of logistical glitches and piles of money put into it, but is now a, running, operating, entity with research facilities. So You know, with phages and everything else, I mean, if you're a Georgian kid, smart and good at math, you know, study biology because there's going to be plenty of employment opportunities here for some time. That's so, I mean, with despite all the complications regarding that program and how long they've been doing it, and I think the idea behind it was originally just sort of employ Georgian biologists so they don't get employed by somebody creepier.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of potential there for it. I mean, it's one of the coolest, most important bio labs, you know, anywhere in the world, and they get to do cool stuff there. It's also run by Anna Jvania, longtime sort of important person in the Georgian government who's a very effective and able administrator, so that should be cool. Misha will attend a nuclear summit in Seoul on the 27th and 28th of a nuclear security summit on the 27th, 28th of March. A new bill has been put up by the National Security Council, which will allow the president, as well as ministers of defense and interior, justice and finance, energy, to say that stuff is secret, which is, you know, not necessarily so great. Just hit, there's a parliamentary hearing scheduled just today for that, so we'll have to look carefully and see what that means. Evidently, that came out of the National Security Council, the report on by DF Watch. TI released a statement regarding the freedom of information at the Ministry of Economy and all, I don't know whether you know it included this, sustainable development. Ministry did not provide TI with requests of companies whose contracts were terminated. The list of individuals, companies who had been given property by the state for large investment projects like Park Hyatt Tbilisi, Hotel Kempinski, etc. So what happens is they were given land and they said they're going to build a fancy hotel. They didn't build the big fancy hotels. And so TI, the hardest working NGO in Georgia, asked, okay, so what happens now? Like they, you know, assumedly there was some contract with them saying you're supposed to do this and then you didn't. Now they're sitting there rotting.
Well, what I hear,
they were told, you know, okay, that's an official secret. And then by law, they have to say, okay, who requested that be a secret? And then they didn't say anything. And so TI took them to court and that the decision was, you know, be quiet. And so now it's getting appealed.
What I hear about those hotels, which haven't been built and aren't getting built anytime soon, is that the companies that won the tenders, they sort of fulfill some sort of trick in the tender by basically digging holes and filling them back in. So they just have to do some work. They don't actually have to build the hotel. They just have to perform some sort of work at the site, and they can keep the tender for longer. And that's why occasionally you do see...
Did you hear this? Did you read this anywhere?
I heard this from someone who knows. And you do occasionally see...
Well, good that you know people who know. I don't know people who know, and all I know is that the Emeli building is falling apart.
This was specifically at Emeli. You do see diggers going around occasionally, and they dig a hole here, and they move some rubble around there, and that enables them to fulfill a technical specification in the tender, which means that they're legally allowed to keep it.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, okay. This is a family show, but, you know, all right, fine. It would be nice if we could see those contracts, or at least they could, you know, like, let us know what's going on. Another TI post saying that 38% of the United National Movement's income was under the line item other in their declaration. And 6% for the Christian Democratic movement. So they posted about that. Immediately got a call from the party who said that, oh, yes, terribly sorry. That was from the sale of our building on Lesi Ukrainka Street right across from Parliament. But, you know, all right. I mean, nice that somebody's reading the posts, but, you know, it'd be nice next time if you say, you know, you sell a building.
Wait, so how much is that? How much they allegedly sell that building for?
I don't know the amount. You'd have to check the post, but, you know, that's a lot if that's their income mm-hmm. For the year. I mean, it is a pretty prime location. Yeah. It was not a, you know, pretty nice nice building. According to Resonanzi, the new building of Parliament will not be opened on the 26th of May, as was previously decreed by the president. I mean, there's absolutely no way. I mean, that building is just not even close. And so many of the things that have been built in Kutaisi fall apart because they're, you know, they're in such a rush for the ribbon-cutting ceremony. So good that they've slowed that down. Supposedly it was for the weather conditions. Parliament discussed new amendments according to which racial, linguistic, religious, national, and ethnic tolerances will intolerance will be regarded as an aggravated circumstance.
Doesn't it also include sexual minorities?
Well, hold your horses there, because I was about to announce that thanks to recommendation by Gaila and other NGOs, it has now included gender, sexual, and political intolerance as well. So the Parliament included this these categories, which, you know, by the way, it's very cool of the Parliament to do this. I mean, this is the kind of thing, they sort of came up with this law, and it was, you know, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were some recommendations, stuff they didn't think of, and they just went ahead and did it. And I have noticed a significant uptick in that with the Parliament. Now, okay, you're right. This Parliament is heavily influenced by the ruling party and the Ministry of Justice, and is not so independent as one might wish it to be. However, you know, when influential NGOs and whoever else have recommendations and they think, you know, yeah, okay, we can do this, they do it. And that's, you know, that's great.
Thing.
It's a very good thing.
And the same applies to the, you know, the religious tolerance, the religious freedom bill in the summer. However, if everyone, if political intolerance is included in this new law, then everyone in the country is guilty. So I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's, you know, when there's assault or, you know, whatever else, and we'll be getting to that a little bit later. So, campaign was launched by a number of women, including Nina Kakabadze and other sort of famous rabble-rousers, called Calm Down, I Already Put My Lipstick On. It's against GPI Holding, an insurance company, regarding its commercials on the 8th of March, hinting that women are riskier drivers. The commercial shows a woman who's putting on her lipstick while driving on a highway, and there's a car accident. GPI apologized for the sexist, stupid, goofy commercials, but they have kept the promotion going.
Well, got to remember that this is in a country where women drivers voluntarily put triangular signs featuring high heels in their back.
I haven't seen so many of those in a while. I mean,
there's loads of those, Mark.
Really, those are sort of horrible. Okay, EurasiaNet.org has a fantastic piece by Gyorgy Lomsadze about a female bishop in the Baptist Church in Georgia, a church that started in the 1860s when a German evangelist showed up. Very, very interesting article. Tiniko Hidashelli of the Republican Party said in Kviri's reportage by Nana Lejava on Maestro, made allegations against Saakashvili's mother, saying that she's, you know, highly corrupt. And then it talked about a land deal next to the technical university that, you know, she received for below market value. And that, you know, I don't know, related to the technical university. And I mean, yes, on the one hand, it seems to have been sort of an inside deal. On the other hand, I mean, you know, Giulia Alessania, his mother, I mean, is a serious educationalist and is doing cool things. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, yes, that looks like an inside deal. Although, you know, calling her like this sort of textbook corrupt professor seems quite ridiculous, frankly.
And do you know what? This is what really irritates me about the Republican Party. The Republican Party are every right-thinking person's favorite party in Georgia, because they're liberals, they believe in freedom and equality and human rights and all these lovely things. But then when they're given an opportunity to stick the knife in or to get into bed with a bunch of crazy wacko radicals who disagree with everything they stand for, they jump at that opportunity. And their political opportunism, combined with their lack of political judgment, as evidenced by the fact that they only get 3% of every electoral cycle, is why, you know, much as I respect their ideas and much as I respect them as individuals and their intellectual capacities, as a party, you know, they never cease to disappoint me.
And not to mention the fact that, you know, when a collection of really quite, how do I say this, as a group, aged and not particularly progressive or professors at Tbilisi State University expressed some concern about independence of the university. And I think in many cases, you know, independence of the university, meaning they don't want the government to fire them and hire some newer, smarter, more, you know, Western and more internationally serious professors. You know, the first people that comes to their defense, you know, not all of whom, but certainly many of whom are truly corrupt and certainly useless. You know, then the Republicans are right there, you know, getting their back.
Well, what about the religious toleration law passed in the summer? This is something that Republicans have been calling for and believe in their heart of hearts, but because there was an opportunistic moment to sort of, you know, say how much they love the patriarch and what true patriots they are and how, you know, and how Misha is trying to destroy the Georgian Orthodox Church. No, they protested this law, which corresponded to everything that they believe in. This is, you know, opportunism, and it doesn't do them any favors.
Yeah, it doesn't do them any favors. And, you know, and I think, you know, they should, I don't know, the hypocrisy alert on that, they should watch, you know, a little more cautiously. Now, speaking of hypocrisy, two students were beaten up in the yard at Tbilisi State University yesterday by members of the student's government. Net Gazeti reports that those who were beaten up were regularly blogging about the university problems and flaws in the student government organization. Before the incident, they were getting threatening messages to stop writing. Police simply warned the violent students and said that they should you know, obey laws. I tell you, this, you know, student government deal, especially at Tbilisi State, is really just a horrible Komsomol like thing. I mean, it really is, and somebody ought to take a look at how that.
So what happened today? There was a big protest at TSU today, right?
I don't know.
A big protest at TSU today. There was, you know, several hundred students out on the steps with megaphones calling for justice for Becker, I think his name is, one of the guys that got beaten up. And I know that, I don't know what was said, but I know that Sandro Kvitashvili, the rector, the former Minister of Health and generally regarded as a really cool guy, actually came out and addressed the assembled students with a megaphone telling them something. I don't know what he said. But yeah, that was quite a big, significant protest there today.
Interesting. Well, we will we'll follow up on that next week and see what was said. Iranian businessman Saksud Bedustani was stabbed to death at his office on Kostava Street, according to Rustaviori. He was a president of the Union of Iranian Businessmen and evidently, allegedly, relatively close to the government of Iran and the embassy. There is a suspect who's an Iranian citizen who evidently left Iran without papers and was applying for some sort of, you know, refugee or asylum status or something like that. Is supposedly a little nutty. That's all that's known about that. You know, as you know, there's been a precipitous drop in the crime rate in Georgia. So murders are relatively uncommon, but lots of discussion about that. There's certainly a lot more Iranians floating around now. And on to mining. As you will remember, we reported a couple of weeks ago about the gigantic, ginormous license that was just handed out to the only bidder in a quick and very quiet, I'm saying with air quotes, auction a couple of weeks ago. A few days after the auction, the chiefs of GeoPro Mining from Moscow was here in Tbilisi complaining about the recent license sale, and the day after the auction, two Russians named Dima were in Bolnisi looking around, probably representing the likely new owners. Neverus, which is a Russian company with lots of cash via a soft drinks carbonated beverage business that is now turned towards mining. They seem to own both exploration and mining licenses. According to newspaper reports, Sergei Nosdorf, that's a real name, Nosdorf. Mm-hmm. The guy from GeoPro Mining is hitting the pavement to Tbilisi going, wait a minute, what just happened?
He's not the head of GeoPro. He's not the main owner. The main owner is Simon Pelerinkin.
Uh-huh. All right. Anyway, this is the second time that Nikopia has sold the same thing to the Russians. Meanwhile.
No. So we don't know for sure if Neverus is connected. We know that Neverus got the owners of Caucasian Mining Group, who got the exploration license for Bolnisi. We do not know if they are the same guys that got the existing gold mine, though they could well be. But if they're not, it's still likely that the same people who set up that deal, if you see what I mean. But we do not know if Neverus owned both.
I hear they do.
Well, I hear they do too, but we don't know that.
Okay, we don't know that. That's unproved. It cannot be excluded. Okay. Meanwhile,
GeoPro Mining is trying to get a international public initial public offering. That
exactly, trying to list on the Glamour.
They've been trying
to
go public for a year.
The way Bank of Georgia, you know, has just done on the real big London stock exchange, but a quarter of their assets have recently evaporated. They owe VTB, the Russian bank in town, a few hundred million.
No, they don't owe VTB. They owe VTB in Moscow. They're not VTB in Georgia. They're VTB in Moscow because VTB covered their Deutsche Bank loan and reportedly, allegedly, was one of the biggest kickbacks in Moscow banking history paid on that loan. So it was a 250 million loan, 240 million loan, of which 40 million was a kickback, which is proportionally much larger than is normally paid. This is what the people in the know say. I couldn't possibly speak to whether that's true or not, but that's certainly what one hears about GeoPro.
Wow.
GeoPro also notoriously badly managed the mine, the gold mine in Bolnice. They treated it as a cash cow for their owners and did not reinvest in the business. They've been trying to do an initial public offering for over a year, which is always really a no-hoper, and that was the only way that they could pay back their loan, so they're really in trouble now that they've lost these assets. Except they do own other metal mines in Moscow, in Russia, which suddenly are worth a lot more because people want this molybdenum or whatever it is. So there's a lot going on.
Ah, yes, the molybdenum connection. Well, I mean, you know, all of these shenanigans are just like kind of, you know, exciting and, you know, and I don't know. I mean,
it's a gold mine, dude. It's a gold mine.
Oh, my God.
They're literally sitting on a gold mine.
But, no, I don't know. Like, this is this kind of, like, you know, shadowy oligarch stuff. It's not, I don't know. Georgia's supposed to be about, like, wine, fruit, hotels, tourists, you know, and I don't know. Having all this kind of mining extraction stuff, it seems very sort of foreign and weird here, you know? I mean, but...
It is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. Okay, great. All right, Czech Airlines is leaving Georgia the 1st of June, according to financial.ge. Yeah, nobody really flies to Prague anymore.
Well, they did at the beginning because they were frightfully cheap flights, but then they made the flights even more expensive than all the normal airlines that give you food. Yeah. So no one thought.
Yeah, that's not so smart. Let's see. So Minister of Economy, Vera Kobalia, commented that Georgian Airways has some management issues that the government had offered to subsidize local flights but were refused. Yeah, I don't get what's going on with Georgian Airways. Never have. I mean, they seem to have serious problems and always have. I mean, even back, you know, pre-revolutionary days. Donald Trump is coming to Georgia in April, allegedly. Details of the Trump Tower in Tbilisi and Batumi will be discussed. He's getting sued in a number of places, and a lot of people are kind of ticked off, I've heard, about whatever he's doing here. And not just because of his hair or, you know, dumbness. Silknet announced that the company plans to boost activity on the mobile market, expects to hold 10 to 15% by 2012. This from Sarke. We'll have to see about that. Georgia withdrew from the agreement with the Commonwealth of Independent States in the sphere of consumer rights protection. Georgia got out of the CIS after the war with Russia in 2008, but it still remains a participation of dozens of international agreements that had been signed by the CIS. Don't know what that's going to mean for consumers, but we'll see. Sockstat, the statistics office, says that the consumer basket is getting cheaper and that therefore, at least in terms of consumer prices, there's deflation, it's a significant decrease of 2.1%, although they seem to change the contents of the basket with some frequency. Economic Policy Research Center, which I think is Soros-supported, said that that is not the case via commerçant.ge. Misha made commitments during his last visit in the U.S. with Obama to amend the Georgian Labor Code, but the government is hiding this information, according to the chairman of the Joint Trade, Unions, according to commerçant.ge. Pensions for people from age 67 will be increased. They'll get 140 lari per person and 15 lari insurance package. The Chamber of Control, as we said, will be changed to the Supreme Chamber of Audit and Transparency. We'll give a prize to the first person that comes up during the consultation period with a better name than the Supreme Chamber of Audit and Transparency. Wait a minute. That will make them scat. I love it. We got to get t-shirts. All right. Deputy Chair, Speaker of Parliament, Misha Machavadiani, one of the few people in the current regime that had also been around in the Shevardnadze. Well, and in Shevardnadze's era, he was the Minister of Revenue under Shevardnadze, became the Secretary General of the ruling party. He succeeds Zurab Melikishvili in this position. German Foreign Minister Guido Westerwelle is giving a talk right now as we speak at Tbilisi State University. Fantastic of him to come here. There's been lots of sort of feelings that Germany's not sort of nice enough to Georgia.
Except it gives them loads of money.
Lots of money, but doesn't, I don't know, there's not some.
It doesn't want them in NATO.
Doesn't want them in NATO. Okay, fine, fair enough. Like, nobody cares about NATO anymore anytime soon. I mean, yeah, okay, we have to pretend to, but like, okay, that's not going to happen anytime soon. But, you know, like, let's just have some more love. Let's have some more friendly supra, you know, whatever. And very cool of the German Foreign Minister. I'm not sure what he's doing being named Guido. Like, is that normal for a German?
I don't know.
Yeah, but anyway.
I speak German.
Yeah, okay. Very, very excellent of the German Foreign Minister to come here, and we look forward to figuring out what that's going to mean. The a pro-government Azeri MP was ticked off about Misha's comments in front of the Azeri parliament about Russia and said that it should not be used as a forum for that. The registrars who check electoral lists from door to door cannot promote any party during that or they will get punished, although there's no punishment designated. Salome Zurabashvili, the former Minister of Foreign Affairs, who's now actually the head of some Iran sanctions entity in the UN, mm-hmm. evidently, has joined the Georgian Dream, that's not a political party, but is some other entity. Imedi has requested that Global TV, a cable network owned by Ivanishvili, remove Imedi from the network. Also, just heard regarding television that the big satellite TV thing that Magti has started up for a while, the government, neither Rustavi Ori Imedi or the government channel would allow themselves to be broadcast on it, which is a big problem because they had these dishes that they were handing out very cheaply, but no Georgian language programming, and evidently the first channel has agreed now that, that they will go on there. IREX, the media NGO with USAID money, has set up a multimedia education center at JIPA, and Radio Liberty in Tavi Supleba has set up a some kind of school there for journalists, which will be cool. Check that out. I think it's going to be interesting what they end up doing there in terms of studio and stuff like that. Having a studio like that could be a good thing for, especially for NGOs. Studio Monitor had a movie that was much sent around on Facebook about a 19-year-old boy who got 8 years imprisonment for attempting the theft of scrap iron worth $30.
Wow.
Yeah, it's rough. Ukraine will not distribute the movie the August 8th anymore. The film is shot by Russia and reflects the war in Georgia in 2008. Evidently, there were protests about the movie in Ukraine.
And in Azerbaijan. They've also, there's been protests outside cinemas in Azerbaijan that say that they shouldn't show that movie too.
I haven't seen it. You've seen
no,
pretty obvious,
some
usual
Russian, you know,
right.
propaganda.
Good Evolutia.net piece by Brittany Pfeiffer about circassians in Syria. Quite interesting. This they always seem to report on interesting stuff that nobody ever thought of or nobody else is reporting on. The Data Exchange Agency, another interesting thing to watch, has a new newsletter out in English about all the great stuff that they're doing. There's now, I can't remember if it's been mentioned before, but under Prime Minister Nika Gilaudi, there's a sort of digital board that talks about how the government should deal with information and that sort of thing, which is important. I mean, I think, you know, in general, the international community has decided that Georgia's great success in fighting corruption has to do with police reform. The thing that is often not looked at is just how much software was involved in that reform, and this is going to try and sort of continue the movement in that direction. Their website is www.e-government.ge. 120 million lari will be invested by the World Bank in rebuilding Tel Aviv. Georgian government and private funds, according to Black Sea Press. That'll be Nine Streets.
They're also messing up the rather nice Recre II's sort of compound there. They're putting... Well, they're going to redo the palace where he was born, where he died, which is this nice Persian-style thing. But they're also putting in this weird undulating walkway, which looks really pretty terrible in this nice ancient castle.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, what about... You know, speaking of bad additions to ancient cities, what about the massive, hideous cable car that is defacing Narikala Fortress now? Have you seen this?
I've seen that they're building it. It's who knows what's
huge.
Going to happen there.
Yeah. It's in, I mean, you know, way to spoil the view of the nice, you know, 14th century Persian castle. It's unbelievably, or Mongolian castle, it's unbelievably big and brash and horrible and, ugh.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Sorry to hear that. Yeah, well, we'll see. You know, let's hope that its fate is better than the one going up Tatsminda. Which, are they ever going to put that thing back?
Why don't they put that one back instead of, like, putting a new horrible one that no one needs?
What is at the top of Tatsminda? I mean, evidently, is that...
the park.
Is it still... Is that going?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I've got to go up there one of these days. Tomorrow, Nino Ananiashvili, the famous Georgian ballerina, will have a show at Rustaveli Theater at 7:45. It will be the premiere of an Estonian choreographer's ballet called Tampopo. Also, an excellent Japanese movie. If you've not seen it. So, the question last week: what material culture, attested archaeologically, was dominant in the South Caucasus in the early Bronze Age? And the answer: Lee Allen. Nicely done, Lee. It is the Kura Araxi culture. Question of this week: who was the first Georgian aristocrat or landlord who bought or owned a grand piano in Georgia? All right, the owner of the first grand piano in Georgia. All right, that's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Email address is Spielpod, TBLPOD, at gmail.com. Send us all and everything. We look forward to hearing from you. We're getting more and more stuff, especially ideas for stories or interesting stuff. Please include announcements or things that you think are important for us to know or say. Next couple of weeks, we're going to be rolling out a new website and host, which will hopefully be cooler and easier to deal with. We're going to finish with a recording by a very, very cool guy named Alan Lomax, who wandered around the world, but particularly the south of the United States, recording music. This is Let the Light from the Lighthouse Shine on Me, and Amazing Grace from a church in Dallas, Texas, in February 1948. Thank God for Alan Lomax, and we'll talk to you next week. Carga Tijale.
The man of God. He was born. That's in the body tonight. This is your opportunity.
Yeah. be ashamed.